and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Ann Northrup. Hello.
Hi. Lots of news this week, starting in the White House, where they convened a meeting with trans women of color, reappointed a prominent lesbian to its Commission on Religious Freedom, and nominated another LGBTQ person to the Defense Department.
They're very busy. Also, disgraced New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has been very busy, currently defending himself pathetically against charges of sexual harassment of women, saying that he kisses men, too.
Pathetic. LGBTQ elected officials rose markedly this past year, with Black people leading the rise. But there's one state that still has no out LGBTQ officials.
I bet you can make a good guess on that, but we'll reveal.
Lots of candidates.
Lesbian teen in Kansas complains about anti-LGBT treatment and makes big changes happen in her school district.
What a hero. Jamie Lee Curtis says that she will perform the wedding of her transgender child.
And the rapper DaBaby... He's not a baby, but that's his name. He's been sanctioned for his bigotry against LGBT people and people with AIDS, and has someone else write an apology for him. And even that didn't go over well.
The Cayman Islands had their first Pride march, but they made sure that it wasn't too gay.
A race car driver at the Hungarian Grand Prix was disqualified from the race for a technical reason, but was it really because he wore a rainbow shirt protesting his government's new anti-LGBTQ law?
He's quite feisty. Yes. If you've been watching the Olympics, a slew of LGBTQ medalists at the games, with some athletes coming out right after they won.
Well, why not? And wait till you see Billy Porter as the fab fairy godmother in Amazon's new version of Cinderella.
That's quite a trailer.
Yeah.
So, you know, very encouraging this week, the White House convening. Well, first of all, you know, they convened that big meeting on transgender equality on June 30th. And we will link to that in our email. But earlier this week, they hosted a roundtable for trans women of color, the most besieged in this country, with domestic policy advisor Susan Rice convening it with the co-chair of the Gender Policy Council, Julissa Reynoso. There's all the attendees.
We're so old that we remember when it was a big deal when they had a meeting with gay people in the White House in the Carter administration.
With Midge Costanza, who I think subsequently came out.
Yes, definitely subsequently. I don't anticipate Susan Rice coming out as trans, right? But anything is possible.
We will report it on Gay USA.
Well, this meeting with the trans roundtable talked about things like housing discrimination, healthcare needs, schools, foster care, jobs, of course, criminalization of sex work. I went through the whole agenda. We'll see whether it has any concrete follow-up.
These are the things that are needed. You know, I feel kind of guilty reporting, and we're going to report more murders of trans women of color this week. But all the groups say is, we deeply mourn. Well, you know, do something.
Yeah, there's a lot they can do. I'm not sure what they can do to stop murders at the moment, but they can give people jobs and housing that make them safer.
That would be a start. Well, moving on, President Biden reappointed out lesbian Rabbi Sharon Kleinbaum to the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, and he also appointed Kazir Khan, the founder of the Constitutional Literacy and National Unity Project. He's that guy who lost his son in the Iraq War, or maybe it was Afghanistan, and stood up against Trump. Outfred Davey is still on it. Now, the commission still includes religious bigots such as Tony Perkins of the Anti-LGBT Family Research Council, but the majority have now been appointed by Democrats.
And this is not Mike Pompeo's operation, because Sharon was on this earlier in, I think, the Obama administration. So this predates the Pompeo put-up job to supposedly investigate religious discrimination around the world. Also, Biden and the White House announced that they are going to appoint Alex Wagner to be Assistant Air Force Secretary for Manpower and Reserve Affairs.
When are they going to change that name, Manpower?
Yeah, that'd be nice. He has served in the Pentagon before, and he has quite a track record of working to improve conditions for all sorts of diverse people in the military. He was the vice president of the Aerospace Industries Association for Strategic Initiatives. He's been all over the place.
But yes, very responsible for the development of the policy around women in combat roles and letting trans Americans serve openly. Now,
let people change their hairstyles in the military, too. He's covered it all.
Now, should we talk about what's going on nationally with all our LGBTQ elected officials?
Sure.
They grew at 17% last year. We got two governors, two U.S. senators, 9 House members, 189 state legislators, and 56 mayors. But black LGBTQ officials grew fastest, a 79% increase over the last year, and multiracial up 40%.
Well, the Victory Fund Institute counts 986 LGBTQ plus elected officials nationally, which is, unfortunately, in spite of all these raises, 0.19% of all elected officials in the country. So we're not even 1% yet. But it is more than double the number 4 years ago. So that is.
There are more trans officials than out Republican elected officials.
Mostly Democrats, all these people. And of the trans elected officials, most are trans women. And the one state that has no LGBTQ plus elected officials, Mississippi.
What was I going to say?
Why do I think there used to be an elected official in Mississippi?
Was in Alabama, you know. What was her name? Patricia Todd, was that the name?
Yes. Well, evidently there still is in Alabama because they're on the list. But I can't remember whether there actually used to be someone in Mississippi. I may be absolutely wrong.
Well,
there was
Congressman John Hinson, who was arrested, you know, for gay sex and didn't resign and got reelected and then did it again and then did resign. And he became an advocate, and unfortunately died of HIV/AIDS.
Well, right. As long as we're talking about politicians, we should move to our own state and our disgraced governor.
Grotesque defense that he offered yesterday, pre-taped, kind of out of tune with what Attorney General Tish James was saying about him. We have a picture of Andrew Cuomo with Tish James there on the right, and the woman who will succeed him, Kathy Hochul, is our lieutenant governor, so we'll get our first woman governor. Andrew is, well, look, we've been saying it for a long time, and now everybody is saying it. He did this slideshow showing himself kissing men and gay people, he said. Al Gore, look, there's a picture. Look, he's digging in, but he seems to want redemption from the voters. He's not going to get it. If he were to hang in there, and I don't think he can anymore, he could deliver the governorship to a Republican. But I don't think that's going to happen now.
Well, as all commentators are saying, he doesn't have any friends. And so there's no one to support him hanging in through this. And his defense, all those pictures of him kissing Al Gore or whatever, completely irrelevant to these charges of actually sexually assaulting women under his power. So it's apples and oranges here. He's trying to create a defense that makes no sense.
So also, there's the sexual assault of women, but he bullies everybody. So, I mean, everybody really hates him. But don't forget, this is the guy who lowered the standard for sexual harassment of the state, so it would be easier for women to bring complaints, who founded the Women's Equality Party basically to give himself another line to run on and diminish the progressive power of the Working Families Party. But I was most appalled, I will say most appalled, there were 11 women. But this female state trooper, she said that Cuomo wanted her on the protection detail, even though she wasn't qualified. She didn't have enough years of service. But he liked her, became flirtatious, suggested she wear tighter clothes, criticized her for not wearing a dress, creepy in a way he was not, she said, with male troopers, asked her why she wanted to get married. It always ends in divorce. You lose your money and your sex drive goes down. This is the kind of stuff that he was subjecting her to. Awful.
Well, he is a creep. He's always been a creep. He certainly was the one who got his father's campaign to put up the vote for Cuomo, not the homo signs when his father was running against Ed Koch. And he just has a very, very, very long track record of being a horrible human being.
Well, a lot of our viewers know him as the guy who did pull through the same-sex marriage law in New York in 2015, I guess it was.
Well, eventually, but it's not like he was ahead of the game. And he.
I'm the guy who used to ask him about it, and he used to say, well, you know, civil unions. I said, why not marriage? And he stammered. And finally, because other officials were coming out for it, he said, well, that would be the ideal, but I want to do what's possible.
He was against same-sex marriage for a long time before he finally came around, and he gets far too much credit for passing it. He passed it late. He passed it reluctantly. He had to be forced into it.
Yeah, but
he
credit.
Was not a hero.
When he marched in the Pride Parade that year after the bill went through, they put him at the front of the parade, and I have never seen, except for the Reclaim Pride Parade, so much, you know, clamor and happiness from the sidelines for this guy. He reveled in it.
Of course, because he lied to everybody. He sold this image and people fell for it. I'm not falling for it. And I'm not going to give him any credit where credit is not due. Now, who I agree is about to wind up as the governor, is from upstate. A local politician from up there who was put on the ticket to be the balancing woman to try to get him more votes. And she has a fairly centrist reputation. We'll see how she turns out when she actually has power.
Well, like Kirsten Gillibrand, who was also an upstate Congress member, she moved to the center and then to the left on a few issues, on a bunch of issues in Kirsten's case. Please, any port in the storm. Now, before you step down, Governor, tomorrow, we want you to sign the LGBT bill that requires utility waterworks and phone companies to respect the names and pronouns of customers. That's on your desk. Sign that and then leave.
Okay. All right. A good court decision in Florida. A federal court rejected a lawsuit by Coral Ridge Ministries, which you may remember is one of the most right-wing religious, I put that in quotes, organizations around. They went to court to claim they were being discriminated against and defamed because the Southern Poverty Law Center labeled them a hate group. And therefore, Amazon would not allow them to be a charity receiving portions of people's purchases.
From the Amazon Smile Foundation.
Yeah.
The judge said, it's not defamation. If the shoe fits, they said it's not defamation. And allowing Coral Ridge's claim would abridge Amazon's First Amendment rights.
And in other religious news, former disgraced Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, 91 years old, it has now been charged in Massachusetts with three counts of indecent assault and battery of a 16-year-old boy, when he was 44, 47 years ago.
Now, here's
how
the
can
deal.
They do this? Because the statute of limitations goes on hold if the person to be accused is out of state.
That's true.
Well, McCarrick has not lived in Massachusetts, evidently, for those 47 years, but now is back there, I guess, and can be charged by the state of Massachusetts.
All right. And speaking of harassment, at Fox News, they fired their legal commentator, Andrew Napolitano, after another male coworker filed a sexual harassment lawsuit against him, the third. And he doesn't live as an out man, although I don't know if you were there. I was at a big party at Sean Stroop's, you know, for one of his books. And there's Andrew Napolitano, who was a friend. And he was sort of open there, but he never came out publicly. And now you're out. You're so bad. You're out of Fox News.
Oh, what can we say? And in Lincoln, Nebraska, Out Nebraska, the statewide LGBTQ group, and the Drag Queen Story Hour group have had to cancel a private after-hours event at the Lincoln, Nebraska Children's Museum. It was just going to be a simple little party. They got death threats, and they were so voluminous and vociferous that the two groups have had to cancel. They had rented out the Children's Museum, and now they can't do it.
Because this hatred is pumped up by Fox News constantly. It's one of their, you know, themes. Oh, I love seeing, I saw the clip, I don't watch the show. Laura Ingraham is on with the despicable Alan Dershowitz, but it was about COVID. And he was saying, no, I'm not getting on a plane if people aren't certified. They're allowed to say, you've got to be vaccinated. You've got to wear masks. It's not a constitutional right. And he kept going on like this. And she ended the segment because she was, you know, saying people need their freedom. Well, you know, that's not freedom. That's murder.
But next door to Nebraska in Kansas, we have a victory.
Favorite story of the week.
Yeah. Izzy Dieker. Probably Dieker, D-I-E-K-E-R, 14 years old, is on a school bus. And
Eighth grade.
A lot of creepy people on the school bus saying all sorts of things. But in the middle of a conversation, she says, very matter-of-factly, I'm a lesbian. Well, the school bus driver hears this and freaks out and says, you can't say that. That's inappropriate.
There are little children around and you're saying lesbian?
So he drags her up to the front of the bus and puts her in this punishment position. And she's, you know, defending herself and saying, how dare you do this?
Well, and none of the other students are being disciplined. And they're saying anti-LGBT things.
And really disgusting things. And misogynist things and racist things, and none of them get punished. But she gets punished for saying, I'm a lesbian. Well, the school principal ends up supporting the driver and saying, you know, he did the right thing by punishing her. Teachers at the school supported her, quit, or were fired.
They wore rainbow pins to support her.
They were terrific.
A social worker, a cook, and three teachers resigned over this in protest.
So then there's an investigative report about this, and the report comes back and condemns the principal, condemns the driver. They both end up having to resign. And now the school has promised to institute new policies of training everyone and treating everyone, appropriately with civil rights. Izzy, at 14, has caused a revolution in her school and has proved herself to be a great leader.
We should say the ACLU got involved with this, and that was a help.
Sure. But I look forward to following the exploits of Izzy.
All right. We do have some trans murders to talk about.
Yes.
You want to talk about Catherine Jeunesse?
Well, Catherine Jeunesse, 40 years old, there on the left, was taking her dog out for a walk. That's the surveillance camera in the neighborhood that happened to catch them on this rainbow crosswalk. She was brutally murdered, and the only way they found her was that her fiance, Emma Clark, when Catherine didn't come home, used a tracking app to find her and sent the police after her, and they found her body brutally violated. And it's just a terrible, terrible murder in Atlanta.
Then in New Jersey, Shay, S-H-A-I, Vanderpump, 23 years old, shot in the face, died in the hospital. Daniel Smith was taken into custody. He's 36, charged with murder and weapons offenses, potential bias, 32nd slain transgender or non-binary person this year in the United States. Her friends described her as having a heart of gold, and she was a fierce LGBTQ advocate. Just horrible.
Awful. In Tennessee, the Human Rights Campaign and a couple of students are suing to stop the trans bans in bathroom and locker rooms that the state has passed. So there's a little effort to make life better for trans students. Okay. But there's so much to do.
All right. A couple of obits.
Sure.
Well, my old colleague, David Thorstad, has died at the age of 80 out in Minnesota. David was an early gay activist, president of the Gay Activists Alliance, which started in 1971. He was a leftist who left the Socialist Workers Party because they were a lack of enthusiasm for the gay cause. So I knew him because he was one of the leaders who founded the 50-group Coalition for Lesbian and Gay Rights, which I served in too. Now, controversially, and of course we have a picture of him with, you know, the seminal leader, Harry Hay over there on the right, David in the middle, John Burnside, Harry's partner there on the left. But he became a co-founder of NAMBLA, and that took him way out of the mainstream of the gay and lesbian movement. He was never himself involved with underage, you know, people, but he was part of this group. But earlier, with John Lauritsen, he wrote in 1974, The Early Homosexual Movement, 1864 to 1935, which was a seminal work. He could be a brilliant technician, but and he became very bitter about our whole movement towards the end. But he did a lot of good.
Aren't we all bitter?
Did a lot of good in the mid-70s.
Yeah, and he defended NAMBLA sort of theoretically and objected to the state taking control of these things. He described himself as a bisexual pederast and an atheist. He was a great activist, but yes, controversial would be an understatement.
And then Carl Levin died, 87, the long-serving Democratic senator from Michigan, 1979 to 2015. He was praised as very integral as chair of the Armed Services Committee, getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And he was a sponsor of the federal LGBT rights legislation, not one of the 14 senators to vote against the Defense of Marriage Act, however, but an overall creditable record.
Absolutely. And happily still alive, Jamie Lee Curtis did an interview with AARP magazine and talked about being so thrilled, full of wonder and pride about her 25-year-old youngest child, Ruby, as a trans woman.
And she's going to perform the wedding for Ruby and her fiance in the near future. Jamie Lee is married to director, actor Christopher Guest.
Ruby is a computer gaming editor, and they're all very, very happy.
All right.
In New York City this last weekend, in Queens, they had, actually it was Monday, the 10th annual Trans Latinx March. huge success, very colorful and fierce in asserting a trans agenda. And on August 18th, there will be Black Pride. There's going to be a week of activities, a mixer, a ball, a drag brunch, Pride at the Beach, a health forum on Zoom. All the details are on Facebook and Instagram and Eventbrite. Black Pride, New York City is what you're looking for in those places.
Also fierce is rapper DaBaby at Rolling Loud in Miami. Made some outrageously offensive comments that were AIDS phobic, homophobic, asking the audience members who didn't show up with HIV or who didn't engage in oral sex, he used another word, in the parking lot to hold up their cell phone lighters. His collaborator, Dua Lipa, did I say that right?
Yes.
Was horrified, also condemned by Elton John, Madonna, and Demi Lovato, dropped from Lollapalooza, the governor's ball, and Day in Las Vegas. By Monday, he was trying to apologize, quote, to the LGBTQ plus community for the hurtful and triggering comments I made, a statement that sounds nothing like him.
Well, he first apologized fairly quickly in a very resentful, bitter way that was completely inappropriate. And then when he got kicked out of all these concerts, then he got a little more religion and apologized a little more carefully, and then threw a little shade on everybody by saying he was still angry at people who were angry at him and thanking those who came to him with kindness and education. You're 29 years old. You're a rap star. How much education do you need?
Well, obviously, Andrew Cuomo has a lot of education, too, and hasn't learned his lesson.
There's a very interesting story about the Gay Men's Chorus in New York, which has reinstated a Black Asian member, Jonathan Gibbs. He had called out racism in the chorus and been put on and had been kicked out. He had many charges of years of racism and BIPOC people being sexually harassed and racist language being used. So now he's been welcomed back in on probation.
Should we talk about Matt Damon or not?
I don't care about Matt Damon.
Let's not talk about it. Look it up online. It's very confusing.
He said he'd stopped using the faggot word, but then he claims he never used it. It's very strange.
Right.
All right, let's international news.
Well, horrifying story out of the Netherlands. Frederik Brink, a gender-neutral teen, 14 years old, was hospitalized after an anti-LGBTQ attack by four or five boys, 11 to 15 years old, at a playground in Amstelveen. After they, meaning Frederik, refused to tell the boys whether they were a boy or a girl, their father reported. Yeah. Frederik suffered a broken nose, fractured jaw. Frederik had responded, "Look, I am who I am, and you can be whoever you want." Now recovering at home and grateful for the support they are getting from here and abroad.
In Ukraine, in Kyiv, Ukraine, activists from the Ukraine Pride organization threw a big rave outside the president's office.
Oh, yeah.
Protesting President Zelensky's refusal to stand up for LGBT rights or to condemn the new proposed no promo homo law, which is spreading like kudzu through
Eastern Europe. Well, in the Cayman Islands, this starts off nice. They had their first Pride march on Saturday. Hundreds marched along West Bay Road. They were greeted by the premier, Wayne Panton, and the opposition representative, Barbara Connolly, and the governor. No protests along the route, but some of us boycotted, because the foundation running it, and the guy in the picture is the head of the foundation, had rules against public displays of affection. And the women who were suing in the Cayman Islands for the right to marry were excluded from the line of march. So this guy, Noel Cayasso-Smith, founder of the foundation, said, I thought we really needed to do this with self-respect, dignity, and pride. Well,
let's see where that gets him. One step at a time, he said. One step at a time.
That's what Joe Biden said about Andrew Cuomo. One step at a time. I want him to resign.
That's what Andrew Cuomo said about marriage. Well, in Montenegro, they had the first same-sex legal union. The law legalizing it just took effect. It was passed a year ago, but it just went into effect. A lesbian couple were unioned in this ceremony. It's still controversial there, and it's a legal union, not a marriage, because not all rights of marriage are conveyed to these couples.
You can't foster or adopt children. So, right. But the word marriage has been used in some of the stories, so it's confusing.
Yeah.
China has banned the German consulate in one of their towns there from social media for a post about an LGBTQ film festival. China.
But they're winning all the medals at the Olympics. More on that in a second. But first, Hungary.
Yes.
So this champion race driver, Sebastian Vettel, is evidently a very enlightened human being. And he was going to participate in a Grand Prix race in Hungary. And so he wore this T-shirt, same love in rainbow colors, to protest Hungary and Viktor Orban's anti-LGBTQ laws. Well, he was reprimanded for that, and three others. But then they participated in the Grand Prix, and he came in second or third, and he was disqualified, supposedly because they couldn't draw enough fuel from his car after the race to inspect it.
Is that the real reason or not? I mean, he said, I'm happy if they disqualify me. They can do whatever they want to me. I don't care. I would do it again. I don't know if he means the fuel or the T-shirt. In Hungary, Orban is had cleared these controversial ballot questions. They're all leading questions. It's going to be impossible probably to win on the referendum, and they're all anti-LGBT.
Well, as I said last week, if you read the wording of the questions, they are so slanted. They all, would you want sex education on homosexuality in the schools without any notice to parents or ability to comment on that? Well, I believe in the free education, but I can see why people would all vote no on that. No, I don't want that. So sure. I'm not surprised.
It's probably written by Brian Brown of the National Organization.
Absolutely.
All right,
let's get to happier news with the Olympics.
181 LGBTQ athletes now and counting, according to Shep Wannan, our viewer, 90% are women.
Yes, of course. But overall, they're only 2% of the competitors, but that's the ones who are out. Right. So to have 2% of all Olympic competitors out as LGBTQ is just fantastically revolutionary.
And some people came out during the Olympics, a Polish rower.
Well, let's start putting up these pictures and tell their stories.
This is Katarzyna Zilman.
Yep.
26.
She won a silver medal in rowing.
She came out by thanking her girlfriend during an emotional interview with state-controlled TV from Poland.
She grabbed the microphone to come out and thank her girlfriend.
She wants to accelerate LGBTQ acceptance in Poland and around the world. She wore a T-shirt, Sport Against Homophobia.
All right, who's the next one?
We got in 3x3 basketball, the USA's Stephanie Dolson won gold. She came out in 2016 in ESPN magazine. So she's been around for a while.
Wait a minute, put that back up. Let me see if that's the right one. She's the one on the right, and she's known as Big Mama.
I saw her play.
Yeah, she's terrific.
I've never heard of 3x3 basketball, but it's sort of fun.
Put up the next picture. We'll figure out who that is.
We got the women's.
Raven Saunders. Raven Saunders on the left there. Raven won silver in the shot put. She's just stunning. And the whole point of this is that she crossed her arms over her head as a sign of solidarity with all oppressed people.
Yes. Now, the IOC frowns on such gestures on the stand and is investigating her. Saunders tweeted, "Let them try to take away this medal. I'm running across the border, even though I can't swim."
Because they're in Japan. She describes herself as black, queer, and depressed. The U.S. Olympic Committee decided in recent years that they were not going to condemn or punish any athletes who did something like this on a medal stand, as long as they were not being hateful against anyone. So this clearly is not an expression of hate. It's an expression of supporting the intersection. And Raven said that the U.S. athletes and maybe others got together before the Olympics and were talking about how they were going to show any signs of protest or solidarity. And they came up with this idea of the crossed arms. There was a guy who painted an X on his hand in a similar gesture. And they're both under investigation for this gesture of solidarity. Now, the tragic thing about Raven is that right after she won this medal, her mother, who had been with friends and family in Orlando watching all of this, died. Oh. Her mother just died, and completely unexpectedly. And so everyone is very upset about this, but she got to see her daughter win this medal and make that beautiful gesture of solidarity. But Raven is one of the real stars of this Olympics.
I remember lots of women doing that in the Dyke March this year, which I was watching from the sidelines. Raven's message is, keep fighting, keep pushing, keep finding value in yourself. And her nickname, by the way, is Hulk.
Well,
she wears a Hulk mask when she does,
and you saw her hair was two-toned. She likes to be very outrageous and provocative. Okay. She did a terrific little dance after she won the medal on the field at the shot put. But she's a strong woman winning that shot put.
Now, we skipped over a couple of people, didn't we?
Well, I'm just letting our director throw up pictures.
Right, you throw up pictures, we'll tell you who it is. That's the Netherlands women's field hockey team. They all showed support for LGBTQ people and diversity with an on-field display, standing in the shape of a heart with their hands behind their backs. At least one, Anne Wiedegaal, is out LGBT.
So thank you to the Netherlands women's field hockey team. Next. Well, that's Quinn, isn't it?
Yes, that is Quinn.
We've showed you Quinn before. Quinn is non-binary and plays on the Canadian women's soccer team. And Quinn is going to be the first non-binary or trans person to win a medal at the Olympics. The Canadian team beat the U.S. team in the quarterfinals, in the semis. Quinn and the Canadians will be going to the finals. So either they will win the gold or the silver, and Quinn will have an Olympic medal.
Quinn wants to be a role model for kids. Non-binary skateboarder Alana Smith did not medal, but also relished the role of a role model. Now, who we got now?
This, I believe, is Erica Sullivan, Asian American swimmer, who won a silver medal in swimming, which she described as so cool.
For USA.
Yes.
A native of Las Vegas there. All right. Who's next?
This is the Italian Lucilla Boari, won a bronze in archery. And she came out by getting a call from her girlfriend as she was doing an interview after winning the medal. Her girlfriend is a Dutch archer.
Who you got next, Rich? Okay, this is the famous Laurel Hubbard of New Zealand, trans weightlifter, made history by qualifying for the Olympics, but failed to record a successful lift of the snatch and was eliminated. She exited making a heart gesture there as a thank you to all the spectators. But she says, she fled to home. I don't want to be a public figure. I just want to play sports. That's why I did this. Please leave me alone. I'm grateful if it helps helping some people.
Well, she became, let's go back to Laurel for a second if we can. She became the real target at the games of the right wing. As a trans woman, they went after her so viciously. Quinn and the BMX rider really were not targeted in the same way. Laurel became the symbol and the subject of all the controversy about whether she should be allowed to compete with women in the weightlifting. So I'm sure I don't know whether Laurel failed to complete a lift because she didn't want more targeting, but she handled herself with great dignity and really bore the brunt of the right-wing horrendous attacks.
Next, Rich, we have the news. Yes. Is this the New Zealand women's rugby team?
Yeah, the women's rugby sevens, who won the gold medal with at least four lesbians on the team. Should we try to pick them out? I don't think so. There are a very happy team of winners and a very diverse, integrated group by sexual orientation.
And Tom Daley is still diving and, of course, has already won a gold medal in synchronized diving with Matt Lee. But in between, knitting. I imagine somebody for his little boy back home with Dustin Lance Black, his husband.
I don't know. I don't know if that looks like a baby's.
The kid's not a baby anymore. I mean.
Well, he says that he knits as a tension relief, and he's been doing it for a long time. I think he's actually crocheting there, but he's well known for his knitting and crocheting expertise.
But he wouldn't have that washboard stomach if he didn't spend like 6 hours in the gym every day.
Yeah, I don't think knitting and crocheting is the right exercise routine for the rest
of us. For him.
Yeah. All right. And are we done with the Olympics, I think?
Yes.
They wrap up this weekend. I have to say that all I'm watching is the golf.
Okay. We have 15 minutes left here.
Yes, we do. All right. In entertainment news.
Broadway's opening up. I don't know how I feel. Broadway is opening up. I don't know how I feel about that. They're going to require vaccinations, but given the fact that vaccinated people are getting Delta and spreading it, I don't see how that's feasible. They're doing it, though. Children under 12 are exempt as well because they can't get vaccinations yet due to medical conditions. But that leaves 12 and unders vulnerable because they're ineligible for vaccines.
Well, a friend of mine who is fully vaccinated just came down with a breakthrough infection. She thinks it's because she was outdoors without a mask and was gardening and was casually talking to passersby. I don't know if that's the full explanation or the real explanation, but she's very uncomfortable at home still, and I assume she's going to get through this without too much problem, but it's real. And I heard of someone else who was in Provincetown, a woman we know, whose name I won't use because she hasn't given me permission to, but she was caught up in that huge outbreak in Provincetown. And it's fascinating that outbreak, which is now hundreds and hundreds of people who all got the Delta variant breakthrough infection, became the basis for the CDC changing its advice and telling people to go back to wearing masks.
Because under city manager Alex Morse, the guy who lost to Richie Neal for Congress, is now the city manager there, out gay guy, they've been doing tremendous surveillance and testing. We're now learning that 93% of the infections in the United States are this Delta variant. And, you know, whether or not it's more lethal, or it is extremely contagious. It gets in your nose and you spread it. That's what, you know, and your breath. And it's, you know, we have a friend who said, look, we're all going to get it. You know, we just.
That was you. That was you.
No, I said that 100 years ago. But that was the much less contagious one. And we weren't all getting it. And we were starting to feel freer. We were taking off our masks in my building. I've asked them to reinstate it here in the building for indoor activity. They haven't done it yet.
There's a new sign up in my building saying that they recommend people wear masks in.
Got to require it.
And that you are required again. They've gone back to the system of requiring people to ask to get in an elevator if there's someone already in there.
I'm on the fourth floor, so I'm taking the stairs again. I don't want to be in an elevator.
I don't know about you, but I would certainly not go to a Broadway theater, even if everyone was vaccinated.
No.
I just don't want to be that close to people. I do go to the golf course, but we're out in the fresh air and we're all separated from each other. And I remain very careful. And I've been wearing a mask all along, and I will continue to wear a mask.
Right. Good. And let's talk about things you can watch at home or will be able to watch at home.
Reasons not to leave the house.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is not finished yet, but A League of Their Own is going to be done into a TV series. You know, it was a good Penny Marshall movie, marred by the failure to deal with lesbians in baseball during World War II. So it's going to be a TV series, but it'll now have gay characters, including Rosie O'Donnell, who was in the original movie, but she's going to play a bartender in one of the scenes in a local gay bar. Actor Abby Jacobson, there on the left, who identifies as queer, will play the lead, pictured here with co-stars Shantae Adams, Darcy Carden, and Gbemisola Ikumelo.
A valiant effort. They will deal with issues of sexuality and race in this one. I don't have an air date for it. I think they're still producing it. It will be on Amazon Prime, and it will be A League of Their Own, and it will be a TV series. So
very soon you can see the 4-part documentary coming on Showtime about gossip columnist Cindy Adams. I did this story for you because you like Cindy so much, and the people in her orbit, like our pal there, Michael Musto. Michael there, of course, on the left.
That's going to premiere August 22nd on Showtime. And you're right about my love for Cindy, even though her claim to fame was befriending every fascist dictator in the world. That's how she got some great stories.
And their wives.
I did 50 years ago vote for her in a journalism poll as columnist of the year. I was probably the only one who voted for her. But I really admired her ability to get unique stories, and so I cast my vote for her while other people were voting for.
I used one of her favorite expressions in writing an article this week. Forget about it.
Yeah, that was Cindy. So I'll watch that on Showtime. I just watched the new documentary on Netflix, Pray Away, about the ex-gay movement. We don't particularly learn anything new for those of us who've been following this, but there was one moment that I thought was particularly crucial where they talked about the intersection of politicians and religious people. And how much they needed each other for this, that the politicians needed the conversion therapy people for you know, to gin up their vote and the and their donations, and the religious people needed the politicians to support what they were doing. So, you know, it's fine. It's good. You see the lovely John Polk, who was revealed finally. But you don't see people like Wayne Besson, who was one of the great revealers of all these people. So
he runs the, what is it, the Truth Out Foundation?
Truth Wins Out.
Truth Wins Out. Well, I mean, my friend Tony Halbert, who produces gospel records and knows that culture, he watched this series and he just found it very depressing.
Well, this isn't a series. This is just a one-part documentary.
A one-off. All right. There's a new comedy coming out called Ex-Husbands, being developed by Amazon Studios, from an original story by Billy Eichner and Paul Rudnick. Eichner will also star, screenplay by Paul. It's about the first gay couple married in New York getting an epic divorce. Gee, a feel-good story.
It sounds a little superficial.
They can be pretty funny, the two of them, though.
Yes. Frank Ocean, a terrific gay singer, and one of the first to come out as a prominent performer, was supposed to be one of the headliners at the Coachella Festival last year. It got postponed because of COVID. So Coachella has now announced that he will be one of the headliners in 2023. Mark your calendars.
We have 6.5 minutes. Can we show the trailer for Cinderella that is coming to Amazon?
That's plenty of time. The trailer is only 2.5.
Okay. It's on Amazon Prime on September 3rd. And I thought this was very amusing. You will recognize some of these folks.
Well, there's a reason it's amusing. It's written by Kay Cannon, yes, who wrote the Pitch Perfect movies, which I've seen about 6 times each. They got me through the beginning of the COVID crisis.
Also a producer of 30 Rock.
Well, I would highly recommend the Pitch Perfect movies if you're looking for something clever, but not life or death. But this is Cinderella, coming September 3rd to Amazon Prime.
Billy Porter.
This is it. Dresses by Ella.
Here's a laugh. This girl fancies herself a businessman.
Cinderella, it's only my love for your father, rest his soul, that stands between you and a life on the street.
I have to make a life for myself. I'll sell one of my signature dresses. Soon everyone will know my name.
To make sure your nuptials are done properly, we shall hold a ball.
You shall find a bride. Somebody
to love. Cinderella, you don't need to go to the ball.
Please, stepmother, I spent weeks making this dress. My future depends on it.
Ooh, yes! I am your fabulous godmother. Do you want to go to that ball and meet a bunch of rich people who will change your life?
Yes, I was just crying and singing about it like 2 minutes ago.
Then go, you shall!
Oh, look at that. This is different.
Okay, Dad, you said you wanted to be a businesswoman. It's magic time.
Holy.
Where's my tail? I can't balance without my tail!
Here I go again. I'm imagining the world outside.
Oh, my God. It didn't happen. And even if it did happen.
Hi. Would you like to dance?
Right now.
Where did you get that dress?
I designed it.
I pick you to be my princess.
What about my work? I don't want a life stuck waving from a royal box any more than a life confined to a basement. If it's a million to wait,
I'm gonna be that I wanted. If it's a... I have dreams that I have to chase. I'm gonna be the sun and
I just can't afford. Marry him and all of our problems will be solved.
It's too late.
Life outside this basement starts right now.
They're glass?
Any way you can make them more comfortable?
No.
But you just did a whole thing.
Even magic has its limits.
That made me laugh. I mean, he's funny.
You're easy. You may have recognized Idina Menzel there as the nasty stepmother, James Corden, whose idea evidently this was, and starring as Cinderella, or Meghan Markle, as I began to think as I watched that trailer, Camila Cabello,
yes,
who's a young star.
Yes.
You know, you can never get enough Billy Porter. So
while we were taping the show, four district attorneys have come out and said that they're investigating Andrew Cuomo now.
What is this, the new full employment operation?
It's not funny because some people on Facebook were like defending Andrew, but he's been such a great governor. I said, would you read the report and tell me what you think then? Please.
Yes, I saw your comments. And what I read of the report is shocking and upsetting. And if anyone does have any doubts.
And they said, you know, the women are credible and he is not credible.
Well, I don't get where they think he was such a great governor. I don't think he's been a great governor. I think he's been a bully, as you said, and a creepy, nasty guy.
His reputation took off when, you know, Trump was being such a complete, homicidal jerk during the pandemic, and Andrew sounded sane, at least.
Yeah, but then it turns out he's killing everyone in nursing homes. So, and he can't get along with the mayor of the city.
And what do you think about the Namibian sprinters being allowed on the 200 meters, but not in the 400 meters because of their natural testosterone?
This is these crazy Olympic rules where if you are a woman who has been evaluated as having too much testosterone naturally, you can only compete in certain races, very short races or very long races, but not in the middle. So they were not allowed in the middle distance races, but then they won the short distance races. It's a mess. Even the Olympic officials have admitted that they're going to have to reevaluate this whole thing. But they keep saying things like, why can't we just have races for transgender people? Well, no, that's not the answer.
Okay. Well, we're down to our last 30 seconds. If you're wondering what's wrong with my eye, is this one? Yeah, I'm going to the doctor to find out. I hope it's nothing terrible.
I'm going to predict it's nothing terrible.
Great. Thank you, Anne. It's been great to be with everybody. Check us out at gayusatv.org. Sign up for our email list, and we will be back next week.
Bye. Hopefully. Thank you.